head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with Anoush Sariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanter, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So, here's Rick.
This is indeed the Rusty Satellite Show. Welcome back. I'm glad you are a regular listener, if indeed you are, to the Rusty Satellite Show. This is show 225, and I'm very excited about the most interesting people I have brought to the to your attention this week. They are, and I'm very excited, in the second part of the show, it is going to be a guy named Jordan Price, who you may not have heard of, but Jordan's 15 minutes of fame, as he says, came from being cast as an actor to play in some Long John Silver's commercials, where he was the talk like a pirate guy. He dressed up like a pirate and did some commercials, got to go to New York. Very exciting. But Jordan is also has an interesting life. He is a drama teacher at Lincoln Elementary School, and he is also a board member and in getting ready to direct his first play at Center Stage Theater at the J, the Jewish Community Center. So that's all very exciting for him. I hope you'll stay tuned. It's a very interesting interview, and there will be some talking like pirates in there, so that is worth staying with me for. All right, but first up, it's going to be Jennifer Moore, who is an injury lawyer, but is I have a long history with her. She was chairman of the Democratic Party in 2007 to 2009, which were the dates that I was a blogger at the Ville Voice, and she is now certainly has her hand in politics. She is part founded a group called Emerge Kentucky that teaches women how to run for office, and it encourages its purpose is to get more women into office, which is a good idea, I think. So we had a great conversation, and I'm happy to share that with you. But first up, I want to tell you about my sponsors. My friends at Passport Health Plan are longtime sponsor of this show, and they will be moving in, I think, 2019 to the West End at 18th and Broadway. I want to point out to you something that you can go see. Some of my work is on a website called PassportWellbeing.com. No punctuation, Passport Wellbeing. And if you go there, you can see some of the stories I've written. The first one they put up was about Pamela Haynes, the proprietor at Sweet Peaches Restaurant on 18th and Muhammad Ali. Got a chance to go down and talk to her. So there's going to be a continuing string of stories and work that I've done on behalf of Passport on that site. So if you're interested in that or in my writing, I encourage you to go to passportwellbeing.com. And also by Lyft, I've elevated Lyft to a sponsor of this show. You know, it's the ride-hailing app. I am a driver for Lyft, and I can offer you a great deal. I can get you $5 off your first 10 rides with Lyft if you go download the app and put in the discount code Rusty Satellite. No space between the words, just Rusty Satellite, and I'll be happy to front you $50 from Lyft to get you started. No sense driving around when you can get a ride very easily, and it's often cost, like if you're going to something downtown, it's less than parking, maybe, depending on where you live. So anyway, let's get on with the show. I have a whole lot to talk about. I went to the Eagles show on Tuesday night, and it was a blast, and you're going to be very interested in how I got into that. I'm also going to mention some of the big things going on in town. Of course, the controversy still waging over there at the University of Louisville. On Thursday night, they're going to vote on the financial package at the Metro Council for the soccer stadium in Butchertown. That should be very interesting. There's news about Dan Johnson, who is mentioned in this interview coming up with Jennifer Moore. And also, I have an update on Chris Thieneman and the whole 90-day fiancé thing. So stay tuned for all that in the next part of the show. But first up, Jennifer Moore. Her office is on the 18th floor of a building at 4th and Main downtown, and a great view there. And she is just a really smart woman, and I really appreciated the time I got to spend with her. We got to talk about a lot of stuff, and of course, she is liberal and Democrat, and like so. We had a lot in common, a lot to talk about, and I really hope you enjoy our conversation. We get into issues involving women in politics, why there are so many gosh darn billboards and TV commercials for injury lawyers in this city. So here it is, my interview with Jennifer.
I admit, I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up, until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
And there's a great view here in downtown Louisville in Jennifer Moore's office. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Well, well, it's really great. You're doing a lot of important stuff in the news, but I want to start about, ask you about, you're an injury lawyer. Okay. So, and you've won big cases, and that seems to be a big deal, but I can't believe how much injury lawyer advertising there is in this town. Why is that?
Well, there's a true need for people to have representation and have an advocate, someone on their side. And, you know, you think about the number of, unfortunately, the number of car wrecks every day or medical errors in hospitals, medical errors committed by doctors, and nursing home abuse and neglect. We're one of the worst states in the country of the number of neglect and abuse cases in our nursing homes, people who are supposed to be caring for elderly. And so there is a need there, and many people don't know where to turn if a loved one or themselves have been injured through the fault of someone else. And so that's what injury lawyers are there to do.
Okay. Well, I understand. I could reel off five or six that advertise all over billboards and TV, but you don't advertise. How do you get business?
I don't advertise. That's a personal choice that I've made, and I rely on referrals from, you know, one of the best compliments is a referral from a former client. Mm-hmm. To say, please call my attorney because she helped me in this situation, and that's a great compliment, but it's word of mouth.
Okay. Well, there you go. Well, I'm really here to talk to you about politics and women in politics in particular. You are the founder and the chair, I think, of Emerge Kentucky, and tell me basically what that is.
Sure. Well, Emerge Kentucky is a candidate training program for Democratic women all across the Commonwealth. So what we do is we actually identify and recruit women from all walks of life, all ages, and say, we see something in you that would make you a good candidate for Kentucky, whether it's school board, city council, state house, state senate, Congress, or the United States Senate. We've never had a female in the United States Senate from Kentucky. And so we look for women all over the state, and then we provide them with 6 months of candidate training so they have every tool they need to be an effective candidate and win.
And win. That's important because I want to know who you're coming up with to knock off McConnell.
Well, that I'm not going to reveal on today's show.
I was hoping for a scoop here on the Rusty Satellite Show.
I am hoping for a long line of women to ditch Mitch in 2020.
Okay. Well, good. I'll be in line with you. But how is your organization? I guess you've been around. Emerge Kentucky's been around, what, 5 or 6 years?
I started the organization back in 2009, and we are part of a national organization, Emerge America. We were the first state in the South for Emerge, and our first class launched in January 2010. We keep the classes small, so you get that one-on-one training, just like you would want in a classroom for your students. And we train 20 to 25 women a year. We've now trained over 165 women, and we have 26 of them serving in office today.
Wow. Any around here that have been through? Tell me who they are.
A couple of women from Louisville that have been through the program is Representative Attica Scott. She serves in the State House. She's the first African-American woman to serve in the entire General Assembly in almost 20 years. Wow. She's the only African-American woman currently serving in the General Assembly. Out of 138 people. Okay. And then Representative Mackenzie Cantrell, she was elected last year, the only Democratic pickup in the entire state house last year, and she defeated a Republican who you may remember was a Democrat. And then after the governor, Governor Bevin, was elected, he was persuaded to switch teams.
Right.
And then the
I'm
district
glad
did not.
Backfired.
Yes, it backfired. Very heavily against him, and he was defeated last year by Mackenzie.
Okay. As I recall, she had to beat in the primary Crazy Dan Johnson, right?
Well, now I'm not going to endorse the way you described him, but she did defeat an incumbent Metro Council member, Dan Johnson, and then defeated a state House member. And that truly is a testament to her training and her hard work and determination.
Because I remember she was described as inexperienced and all that, so this training paid off for her.
She, I'm sure that there was a lot of naysayers to say that she could not take out two different incumbents. But she was determined, and she knocked on doors, and she knew exactly what she needed to do. And I've heard her say that she credits that to Emerge. We also have some, we have Cindy Fowler on the Metro Council here in Louisville, and we've got a woman running for Metro Council in Dan Johnson's seat, Nicole George, and she's already out there. She's been working all summer for a race for next year.
Okay. Well, does your group, is it partisan? I know you were former chair of the Democratic Party, so certainly there's a leaning toward Democrats, but do you ever support Republican women?
We train Democratic women only.
Okay.
And we made a decision about that because we want to see Democratic women get elected, have a seat at the table, and support the policies to which the Democratic Party stands for. And that's protecting women, and it's also protecting the middle class and working families. And you saw, you know, in the first week of the legislature this year when the Republicans got control of the state house for the first time in almost 100 years, it was pretty devastating to women and working families in the state. And so we only train Democrats.
Yeah, well, I hope you got somebody good coming up to help knock off our governor, who I would also describe as crazy, but in a certain way.
Well, I mean, next year, the first step is we got to pick up some seats in the state house. We've got, right now, we've got 32 women running next year, all the way from state senate down to magistrate in different counties. And we're looking for many more so we can take seats back in the state house. I think there's a great chance that we can win the 6th congressional district next year. Then we're going to be set up just right for 2019.
Okay. Well, great. Well, before we got started talking on tape here, we were talking about the empowerment, I guess, of women. Right now, there's a lot of news stories about sexual harassment from Harvey Weinstein to others are coming out. It's really becoming a thing. You were telling me how it's actually sort of empowering women in a way. How would you say that is happening?
Well, and I'll use Emerge as an example that, you know, we provide obviously the tools you need. You know, how do you raise money? How do you talk to voters? How do you talk to the media? How do you get yourself out there in the community? Mm-hmm. So those tools are really critical to know and to get a leg up on your opponent. But what's even more importantly than that is the network that we create with Emerge. And that empowers women. It empowers them to take that step to file for office because it is a big step. It's a big sacrifice, regardless of your partisanship, but it's a big sacrifice to put yourself out there. And so when you have that empowerment that you're not the only one, it makes a difference. And the same thing is what we're seeing now with all these women coming forward. That they know they're not alone. I mean, I don't know a woman who hasn't experienced some form of sexual harassment in their life, including myself. And so when you have that Me Too campaign that you've seen on social media, it's that they're like, that's right, I'm not alone here. And it's empowering because then all these women are standing together and that will make a difference.
Okay. Okay. Well, it certainly makes sense, and you say it well. I know that Emerge Kentucky is having a big event coming up you want to talk about.
Absolutely. No doubt.
I knew I could get you excited about something.
That's right. We are having a large event on November the 4th here in Louisville at the Henry Clay downtown. Tickets are required, so you do need to go to our website, emergeky.org, to purchase tickets. And we are bringing in a woman, Dr. Jennifer Lawless, who is a professor at American University in Washington, D.C., and she runs the Women in Politics Institute. She is the expert on women in politics. She's done all the research. She's got all the data. It's going to be really interesting. She's going to talk some about what happened last year when we had a, you know, when we had Hillary Clinton, the Secretary Clinton, running as the major party nominee. What happened? What happened with women, and what does it mean for women going forward?
Well, that's interesting when you talk about women in politics. You know, finally having a woman running for president, and we've got about a minute or two left, so you can't analyze the whole election. But we've got this mm-hmm. guy in yes. office now who defeated a woman in Hillary who was the most qualified of anyone that's really ever ran for the office, and I don't understand why people hated her so much.
Well, it's a multifactorial analysis, which we don't have time for in a minute, but I would say that, you know, it's, look, you go back 20 to 30 years of her being demonized by many people in high-powered positions, which is why it's so important for us to get more women at the table in all sectors of society, not just politics, but women in leadership roles will change the way that society views women and that women are treated. And we've got to make a difference. You know, we are one of the only countries in the entire world where a woman has not been the head of state. We rank 101 now, 101st in the world of the number of women in office. And Kentucky ranks 42nd in the number of women in office. And that's why organizations like Emerge, which Secretary Clinton has endorsed, are so critical to making a difference.
Okay. Well, you certainly make a good point. Very convincing. Former chair of the Democratic Party, involved in politics. When are you going to run?
Now, you didn't tell me that before we went on the air.
It's always got to be a surprise question.
Well, you know, turnaround is fair play, because I do spend all my spare time encouraging and training women to run for office. And I will put myself out there one day. For now, I'm going to keep practicing law.
Okay. All right, Jennifer. Looking forward to your event on November 4th, and thanks for being on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Hey, this is Dan Vonderhyde.
Stephanie White.
And we are 40-ish.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
We talk about it every week on the 40-ish podcast. What do we talk about?
Wisdom. We drop some wisdom and just everything that's going on in our lives that relates to what might be going on in yours.
We have guests. We talk to people on the street. We're dropping knowledge all over the place. You can hear it every Wednesday. Comes out on Louisville.am.
All right. Thanks again to Jennifer Moore. Enjoyed going down there on Tuesday. No, it was Wednesday. It was Wednesday, because Tuesday I went to the Eagles show down at the KFC Yum Center, and what a show it was. I'm going to tell you a little story about how I got tickets, and in hopes that not everybody will adopt this method of getting in, but it sure has worked twice now for me. It worked at the U2 show last summer. During the summer, and what happened is I had forgotten the Eagles were coming, so I found out about 5 o'clock. I said, I just wonder if I could still get in and get tickets. The show was nearly sold out. When we got into the show, we saw that people were sitting up in the very top of the upper deck for the Eagles show, and so I went on StubHub. And you know, when I went on StubHub, and I found that big events, if you go and try to buy tickets a couple of hours before it starts, you can get some good deal. So I found two tickets for $24 to see the Eagles. I bought them online and used them to get in. And they were terrible seats. They were up in the rafters, but we never visited them, our seat. I went with my girlfriend Paula, and we came in and got on the lower bowl level and basically got really lucky. We found a couple of seats just to the left of the stage, about halfway up, and really, really enjoyed the show for a bargain price. It's about $60 once you added up all the fees and everything for the two tickets. So there you go. That's my advice to you. If you want to go to a show and you want to take a chance, that's what you do. But boy, the Eagles. Now, a couple years ago in 2013, there was this big documentary, The History of the Eagles. It came out, and it showed some of the interesting personalities in the band and how they worked. And then, you know, of course, Glenn Frey died in 2016. So the Eagles are on their first tour since then. And I know they played in Atlanta before they came to Louisville. I think they played one other show, but this one, the show in Louisville was really great. Number one, Don Henley came out and acknowledged the audience, and you may not remember that, but the Eagles opened. They were the very first concert to play at the KFC Yum Center in 2010, and so it holds a special kind of place, at least That's what Don Henley said. And he fronted this band, and the band is great. I think maybe the best ever addition to an existing band is the fact that the Eagles added Vince Gill. Yes, the country singer. It wasn't just a cameo or anything. Vince Gill is part of the band, and he played the whole night, and you know, he's a very talented guy. And again, playing to the Louisville crowd, he wore a Louisville sweatshirt on stage. I was very proud of it. He seemed like he was having such a great time. And the other addition to the band is Glenn Frey's son, Deacon Frey, who looks a lot like Glenn, who sings a lot like Glenn and plays a lot like Glenn. This band is tight. Now, you know, we were talking about the songs. All the songs you know, of course, but they're actually better than they were on the albums because they have a five-piece brass section that travels with the band, a five-piece string section. They have all these other people, but the show starts with six members of the Eagles out front playing guitar. And Henley, of course, alternates between the drums and the guitar. And they have a lot of set changes and a lot of things going on, but the show is really great. I really enjoyed now, Joe Walsh, he looks like a crazy guy. He's got a dark mustache and white hair, which is sort of an odd look. But, you know, the great thing about this kind of music, it brings back memories for you. And the memory that came flooding back when Joe Walsh played his hit called Life's Been Good to Me So Far. You know that song? It was on an album called But Seriously, Folks, that I remember walking from my dorm room at Western over to a record store and getting that album on vinyl and taking it back to my room and playing it like constantly. I love that song and that whole thing with Joe Walsh. So just a great memory that came back. So the show was fantastic. They played about 2 hours plus, and you know, it's just finely produced show. And you know, and the thing is, you get to the level of the Eagles, you have enough money to do anything you want, and they have a giant screen behind them, got great imagery that supported some of their song. It was just awesome. The guys looked like they were having a great time. So that's what I did last night on Tuesday night. That was really, really a good time. So, speaking of the Yum Center, boy, a lot has changed since 2010, hadn't it? I know that if you really want to hear about the UofL scandals involving Rick Pitino, Tom Jurich, Greg Postal, and all that, you can certainly fill your ears almost 24/7 with talk radio. I will just say this: the controversy over the firing of Jurich and the firing of Pitino and what amount the university is going to have to pay to get rid of them is mind-boggling. Only because, of course, I've been fired a few times from jobs, and you know what happens when you get fired is they give you maybe a 2-week severance package and send you on your way. And that's how the university, I think, should handle this. Of course, there are contracts. I know it's not that simple. It is really not that simple. But this is a pattern throughout the history of the University of Louisville in terms of the last 10 or 15 years. Anytime somebody leaves, they get this big going away check. And I don't get it. I think they ought to just fire them, give them the 2 weeks severance. And if they want to, if the fired person wants to sue, okay, you know, be ready to defend yourself on that. But anyway, I know I'm oversimplifying things, but it's the money over there that is just ridiculous. Did you hear what they're paying Vince Tyre, the new athletic director? They couldn't just, you know, pay him a normal wage. It's $100,000 a month. This guy's getting, it puts him in the top 10 of all athletics directors in the country. And I just don't think they need to pay that much. Of course, it's not my money, but, you know, those of you, wherever that money comes from, it's a waste. I'm sure Tyre deserves a handsome salary, but to be among the tops in the country, he has no experience. He's on the job on an interim basis. Why would you go out and pay as much as pay more than the market bears for that? I just don't get it. So anyway, that's my thoughts on that. Speaking of money, now the soccer stadium, which I think is going to be a jewel in this city, it has the potential to be a really great addition to what's going on, especially boosting Butchertown and getting rid of some ugly stuff over there. Well, the Metro Council on Thursday night is voting on a financial package that includes the city paying $30 million, basically offering up a $30 million investment, a loan of sorts to the team, and the team owners have to pay it back. So I think there's plenty of support for the soccer stadium. I hope there is, even though I'm not really interested in soccer. I know it's really taken a lot of people really like going to these games, and I've been to a couple, and they are fun. If you only understand soccer, it's like me going to a hockey game. I remember going to those a number of years back with my buddy Mark Hebert. He had to explain all the rules to me, and you know, you can't really enjoy the sport as much. But anyway, soccer stadium vote is Thursday night. I hope hope they vote yes and put that money forward and start working on that. Right. All right. Some other things in the news that are pretty interesting. Dan Johnson, our favorite Metro councilman, who is the last we heard, there was a sort of tribunal, a court of sorts of Metro Council members, of five members who were going to hold a trial. The topic was whether Johnson would be up his job as councilman. He's facing a lot of criticism for some sexual harassment allegations and for some, I don't know, you can't get rid of a guy just for being sort of an idiot. But anyway, Johnson is still, he got an offer from the council that said if... It's pretty restrictive. They're just trying to get him through this term, you know, because his term is up and he won't be running anymore. So the thing that came up is the council offered him that if he had to admit wrongdoing, he had to admit to what he did, he has to go by these rules. He can't arrive at City Hall more than 20 minutes before and can't stay more than 10 minutes after any meeting that he has at City Hall. They don't want him around, I think, is the message. And he cannot communicate with other council members or staff except by phone or email. Now, I don't know. I'm reading this in the Courier Journal, and I'm thinking, does that mean he can't, like, walk around the halls and say hello while he's there to people? That's the way it reads. Johnson hadn't decided whether to accept or reject this offer. If he rejects it, they'll go ahead with a trial, a costly trial to taxpayers to remove him. So let's hope he takes it and we just get through his term the way it is, and we'll have Dan Johnson on the council for a little bit longer for some comic relief, maybe. His Facebook page, which is always entertaining, in between his postings about the World Series of Poker, he is complaining a little bit about his thing. I suggest you go to Facebook and look up Dan Johnson. So that's going on. And then lastly, I want to mention this. My good friend Chris Thieneman had if you follow this story, for about 3 or 4 years, Chris has been fighting with the cops and with the courts over the fact that he was wrongly arrested and accused of sexual harassment by a former girlfriend. And now Chris, of course, has had many opportunities to have this situation go away, but Chris is a fighter and doesn't want to have anything on his record that he was convicted of any crime. He had a full trial. He had all that. This week he is now suing the husband of the former girlfriend for damages to his property. And Chris has been preparing for this trial and all set to go and everything's ready. And he went to court this week, had a court date this week. Trial was delayed once again. And they tried to dismiss it. He wouldn't allow it. And if you go to Facebook, Chris Thieneman's Facebook page, you can see a video where he explains all this and just a fascinating story about a guy who won't give up till he gets his way. And that seems to be what's happening. Also an update on Chris's friend David Toborowski, who was on the show, I think, last week. The 90 Day Fiancé, I'll tell you, it's Sunday nights at 9. Now David Toborowski was not featured much in the last episode last Sunday. It's on the Learning Channel at 9 o'clock on Sunday night, and he is going to be prominently featured in episode 4 that is coming up this week. So that's something you ought to see. The other, I'm glad I don't watch reality TV, but occasionally when I'm motivated to do so because somebody I know is on it, it's funny. It's funny to watch, I'll tell you that. So anyway, that's my roundup of the news stories that I found interesting this week here in Louisville, Kentucky. So next up is my guest, Jordan Price, and I really enjoyed going down to Lincoln Elementary. It's always good to go back home. There's a lot of energy there, a lot of things going on, and Jordan met me, and his daughter was in the room. She was coloring, and Jordan and I had this conversation about being a pirate, about being a actor and director, and being a drama teacher. And those are the things that Jordan Price is doing these days. So he's from New York, but has made his home here in Kentucky. And we talk in the interview a little bit about how he ended up here in Louisville. And we're glad to have him. It is really a joy to talk with him. I'm looking forward to the play he's directing in the spring at Center Stage as part of the Jewish Community Center Center Stage product. And he's just a cool guy. It's one of the fun things about doing this show. You get to meet some pretty cool people as talked along the way. So I'm happy to share that with you. Here's my interview with Jordan Price.
Hi, this is Alec Voles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers.
Yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
All right, today, the Rusty Satellite Show is at Lincoln Elementary, where Jordan Price, my guest, it's only appropriate that I ask you to talk like a pirate.
Ahoy, matey!
For the whole interview. No, I'm just kidding.
That's a no-starter.
Imagine if you had to do that. I guess on Talk Like a Pirate Day, which was September 19th, that's what some people do. They do it all day.
They do. They're very committed to their character. Yes.
That's good. Well, you're the drama teacher here at Lincoln Elementary, so you know that's sort of a thing you do. You got a little publicity back in September as part of the Long John Silver's promotion. And tell me a little bit about that, what that experience was like for you.
It was insane. Everyone says they get their 15 minutes of fame. That was mine. So it means that the rest of my life is all going to be like, it's already exploded. I had my big moment, and now I'm on my denouement. I'm slowly getting smaller and smaller. It was crazy. I got to shoot these really fun improvised commercials with these really adorable kids who – are going to say who knows what, and I had to stay in character as a pirate, and luckily we had a really good editor who edited them together and made me look really funny, and I guess Long John Silver really liked those, so they decided to bring me to Good Morning America, New York, on Talk Like a Pirate Day, and I got to go on national television.
Here we go.
Please send out the gators. Please send out the gators.
Okay, we're really in a school, aren't we?
We sure are. So I got to go on national television, and alongside Ginger Z, who is one of the, I guess, correspondents on Good Morning America.
Okay.
And it was a blast. Great time.
Well, the trip to New York alone is sounds like fun, but that's where you're from.
That's where I'm from. Yeah, I grew up in New York, and I met my wife working in Times Square right around the corner from where I was staying at a restaurant called Marseille, 44th and 9th, delicious French bistro. Go there if you're in town.
Okay. So, but I don't guess you got to take your wife and do a whole reunion.
No, unfortunately not. It was just me by myself. I got on a plane right after school on a Monday, flew there, did the thing Tuesday morning, got right back on a plane. I was back in Louisville in less than 24 hours.
Okay. Well, it was very exciting. So Talk Like a Pirate, you could become, you know, this could become your thing. I guess this is a one-time deal, but
yeah,
you hope it happens again.
Oh, man, it would be amazing. Yeah, it was so much fun. And if I was able to do it again, I'm on board.
Well, we're almost to Halloween, so I'm guessing what your costume is.
Oh, it's definitely not a pirate. Definitely not. See, I got to go unrecognizable. There's too many people following me around with cameras. It's just, it would be such a hassle, and I don't want to expose my young ones to that. You know?
There you go. Well, you've got a pretty interesting life here in Louisville. You're involved. You're on the board at Center Stage at the Jewish Community Center.
Absolutely.
They got a lot of stuff coming up, and because you know you're a teacher here, but I guess you always have the arts in your life, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's so many great arts opportunities here in Louisville. I'm from New York, and obviously there's tons of arts in New York, especially in the city. My wife and I moved to Nashville, and we were kind of a little disappointed with, besides the music, the theater arts scene there. But once we moved here, we were just blown away at how many theater companies and really talented performers there are here in Louisville.
Okay. And you were we're trying to ignore the announcements here. Okay.
It's hard. We're all kangaroos now.
But you were you moved to Kentucky for I think you were telling me you and your wife were somehow involved in Kentucky Shakespeare.
Absolutely. Yeah, Kentucky Shakespeare. My wife had always dreamed of managing a theater company, and we were living in Nashville at the time. One of her friends, Ash, was in a couple shows here that summer in 2011. And she came in, she interviewed for the position, she got hired that weekend. So after being in Nashville for 4 months, we were moving to Louisville, Kentucky.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, very exciting. And so tell me a little bit about Center Stage. I know we've talked about it before on this show, but you actually have a directing opportunity coming up, and that's a pretty big deal for you.
It is. It's great. So Center Stage is what I refer to as one of those gems of the Louisville theater scene, especially for those who really love and are passionate about musical theater. Because while there's so many theater companies, and there are some that do musicals, I feel like this is probably the biggest of those musical companies. And then, of course, you go across the bridge to Derby. They do a fantastic job also, and there's some other ones. But they do such big scale musicals, and the reputation has just grown and grown over the years. It's, I believe, the oldest community theater in Louisville, having gone through several names, but they really pride themselves in the quality of the work they're putting out there. And I know several actors in town who come out and audition year after year, and when they finally get cast in a center stage show, they're just so excited to get that chance and that opportunity. Okay. And now myself getting the opportunity to direct one of those shows, which is something I've been dreaming of doing for years, I'm just over the moon excited.
Okay. Well, let's get to that in just a second, but I want to ask you about the current one, because I understand that Jekyll and Hyde is playing right now. People can get tickets to that right now.
Yes, they can.
And sell me on that one.
Jekyll and Hyde.
I don't imagine, to me, I don't imagine it as a musical, but...
No, you haven't seen it?
No.
Well, there's a film from Broadway version with David Hasselhoff.
Wow.
I know, crazy, in the lead. I don't recommend seeing that one, but what you should do is get over to the center stage at the Jewish Community Center, because director Jason Cooper, good friend of mine, he helmed that show, and he took what's usually a Victorian-era gothic horror musical and kind of made it in this timeless setting. It's a little steampunk. It's very stylized, but definitely scary. The orchestra sounds so rich and huge on it, and the people they cast in this show, their voices just soar on the music. And it, you know, anyone who knows Frank Wildhorn, the composer of that show, he writes these anthems, his music. They're very pop-influenced, a little bit of classic Broadway, but more towards the contemporary. And you just sit there and listen to the music. Even if you don't love the story of a horror musical, you just go there and listen to this music and these voices singing it, and you'll be happy. It's well worth the ticket price there. But the fact that it's an entertaining and well-done show, that's just a bonus.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm believe you. I'm gonna give it a shot. Caroline's talked me into going to see that one. But now your play that you're directing is not till the spring. Is that right?
Right. Well, that one goes up February 15th. And it will play through a Saturday, actually. It ends on March 3rd. Usually we end on a Sunday, but I think there's some events going on at the JCC that Sunday. But the show's called The Wild Party, and it's based on a extended form poem slash graphic novel by Joseph Moncure March that's been around for quite a while. And it's funny because in the same year, two big composers did their own versions of The Wild Party. We had John Lacusa, who his version went to Broadway, and Andrew Lippa, who is at the same time was playing off-Broadway. We're doing the Andrew Lippa version, which in my opinion, the music is just so much more fun to sing. Now, people argue both ways for that, because there's very strong fans of Lacusa, very strong fans of Lippa, but since college, you know, a good 15 years ago, I've been listening to this album, visioning it in my head, how to do it, and... Wow. The take we're going to do on it, we're going to try to make it very environmental, as if everyone in that audience is a part of this wild, dirty, sexy party that's happening. So it's going to be an experience not to forget, and you don't want to miss it.
I will definitely come to that one. It sounds fascinating. So you start casting. I guess you haven't cast yet, right?
We're actually in the process right now. We had auditions on Saturday. You do.
Okay.
You know, tonight actually is the makeup audition. So, you know, if you have a song prepared or a short monologue, you know, just get to that JCC between 7 and 8 and show me what you got.
Yeah,
I'd love to cast you.
You never know. But I've always been interested in acting and plays and all. And what you're doing down here at Lincoln Elementary, I wanted to ask about, because this is a special project. This isn't in every...
No.
There's not a drama guy like you at every elementary school.
There is not. This is what I refer to as the Disney World of elementary schools. I wish I had an elementary school like this when I was growing up. Instead of focusing on what most schools do, you know, having a physical education class, a computer class, library, visual arts, we have dance, drama, vocal, instrumental. When they get older, they could take piano, they could take band, they could take orchestra, and really getting a chance to, you know, hone those performance skills. I find that when I go out to other schools in the community and I see kids out there, our kids are just so much more confident because of what we teach in those performance classes. Okay. You know, I guess their ability to get up in front of different people and perform, whether they're just giving a speech in front of people, or whether they're really putting themselves out there and trying to become characters or do dance numbers. They're just so confident. And I think that's attributed a lot to what we do here at Lincoln.
So you start with first graders, right?
I start with kindergartners.
Kindergarten.
I got the little ones. I actually have my daughter here in kindergarten this year. So that's an endorsement in its own. If I'm not going to send my own kids here, you know, what's the point, right? Yeah.
So I guess ultimately, though, you graduate from a kid who graduates from here, my assumption would be, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that the next step would be to go to YPASS and pick a area to perform there.
That would be the goal, but there's actually a performing arts middle school too, Western Middle, out in the Portland neighborhood, and they have just like here, they have some great performing arts programs, one of our sister schools. So a good deal of the kids who graduate here fifth grade, sixth through eighth grade, will go to Western, and then hopefully by the time they graduate there, their love for the arts will be even greater than it was when they left here, and they'll go and audition for YPASS and, you know, be on that performance art track.
Wow. Well, it's a great education. I know I've talked to a lot of arts groups around town. It really seems to be a focus on getting into kids' heads early, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the earlier, just like with language, you know, they say that kids, you know, up to 5 or 6 years old, that's when they're a sponge and they're really able to take in that new language. Arts is a language of its own. So we're really teaching that from that early age of 5-year-olds all the way up until they're 11 years old and they leave us. And, you know, they're drinking the juice and they're buying in big time. But we love that. We love that about them. And some people are like, oh, those kids are weird over there dancing around and singing all the time. But you know what? If that's weird, I'm weird, because that's exactly how I am.
Well, it's a good way to go through life, I guess. Exactly. All right, we got to wrap it up here. But I guess I have to close by asking you for one more pirate phrase, and we'll get out of here. Remind our listeners that Jekyll and Hyde's playing at Center Stage right now.
Playing at Center Stage for the next 2 weekends. I wish I knew the date off the top of my head when it closes, but it closes very beginning of November. So whoever that first weekend in November is, that's your closing weekend. You still have, I believe, 7 more chances to catch it this weekend, next Monday, and then the following weekend. So very do good. Not miss it.
Or what? Tell me in your pirate voice.
Don't miss Jekyll and Hyde, or I'll make you walk the plank. Ahoy!
And that was Jordan Price down at Lincoln Elementary School. That's in Nulu. It's right down from, followers of the show know, High Five Donuts is down there in Nulu, right at the corner of Main Street. And anyway, I really enjoyed having Jordan on and talking like a pirate with him. I didn't get a chance to squeeze in my favorite pirate saying. I'll have to do it. I'll do it now, okay? And this is something we used to say in the fraternity back in college. It was, the sultry wench with fire in her eyes, strip her naked and bring her to me. I don't know where that's from, but we used to say it all the time for some reason. I don't know why. But anyway, and thanks also to Jennifer Moore for being on the show. Jennifer has an event on November 4th that you are welcome to go to. Look her up on the Emerge Kentucky Facebook page, and you can get all the information about that event and how you can attend it as well. So a few things as we wrap up the show. I tell you, did you go out last weekend? We had the best weather maybe of the year. It was outstanding. I was on the golf course 2 days. I played at Glen Oaks, which I discovered. I just found out this. You can play, you can call them up, and you can get a tee time for $27, and it includes lunch. And it's a gorgeous, gorgeous golf course. It really is. So I got a chance to play there. First, I'd played there once before many years ago, but it was an outstanding afternoon. And then also played at Valley View Golf Course over in New Albany. It's the home of the Floyd Central, I think, golf team. But it's a nice course, and we got it for a nice price. So this is a good time of year to get bargains on golf. I know the Metro Parks, you can play, take a foursome out for 9 holes on the weekends after 4:30. Total price of $25. So good chance to take the family out and do that. So that's another thing that I'm happy to promote on here at no charge. I do want to mention once again, my sponsors are Passport Health Plan. Remember, the website is passportwellbeing.com. And also Lyft. If you don't already have the Lyft app, download it. Use the discount code RustySatellite, no space, RustySatellite, and you can get some free rides. You can get $5 off your first 10 rides, courtesy of the Rusty Satellite Show. So do that. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm glad to be with you. Welcome your feedback, any suggestions you have about guests that you know that may be among the most interesting people in the Ville. That's what we feature right here on this weekly podcast. Been doing it 4+ years now, and enjoyed every minute. So anyway, tell your friends about it, and join me again next week when we We'll be back for another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.
What the hell?